Well, when the Pep Band plays, that can only mean one thing. It is another edition of Crunch Time here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, of course, presented by our great friends at Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, OrthoCincy.com. I am your host, Double T Travis, there, and feeling pretty energized on this Monday afternoon. I think the great weather is helping with that, and there's going to be plenty more where this came from the rest of the week, and I am very much looking forward to getting out on the golf course, maybe more than once this week. That's going to be my goal. But plenty to get to on the show this afternoon. As always, we're going to talk about the Indiana State Bass Fishing Tournament that happened over the weekend. A couple youngsters from East Central High School performed well there. Got a couple of college commitments that I want to talk about. We're going to run down the softball and baseball standings in the EIAC and ORVC and tell you about some of the top performers so far this season. And then, of course, the big part of the show tonight, something I want to spend quite a few minutes on, is the new sectional groupings in 6 high school sports in Indiana, something that the IHSAA announced not too far in the distant past. So we're finally going to get a chance to talk about that this week, and I'm very excited to talk about that because there are some changes in some of those various sports, and I think it's going to make for some interesting sectional play over the next couple of years. So we are certainly going to get to that. But to start out, I do want to talk about fishing. The Indiana State Tournament held on Saturday at Patoka Lake, and Grayson Hilton and Isaac Smith out of East Central High School, they're a part of the fishing club there. They placed 4th out of 54 teams, ended up a little over 15 pounds is what they weighed. At the end of that competition, they were about 4 pounds off of first place, but they did qualify for the Nationals in Alabama, which is going to take place next month at Pickwick Lake. So congratulations to those two young men for the great showing at the Indiana State Tournament, and then obviously the chance to go down to Alabama and compete in the Nationals. That is going to be one awesome experience. So I wanted to make sure I highlighted those two young men to start out the show this evening. We will stick at East Central High School because it was just at the end of last week that we learned Caleb Mergenthal is going to stay close to home to play college basketball, committing to Indiana University East in Richmond. So that is going to be great for family and friends. They're going to be able to easily get up to IU East and see Caleb play if they so choose. Of course, he's going to have the opportunity to see family and friends a little bit more often as well with just the short trip to St. Leon. But what a senior year it was for Caleb Mergenthal, one of the standouts for the East Central Trojans. He was named team MVP. He was the leader in points, assists, and steals. He was among the team leaders in rebounds as well. So a do-it-all guard, lightning quick, has a great crossover dribble, can get into the paint, rise up and score in traffic, a pretty decent outside shooter as well. So a very complete player, good defensively. He's a really great athlete. You could see that on the football field as well. And to make things all the better, a great student in the classroom, 3.7 GPA and a member of the National Honor Society, but a whole bunch of accolades this past year with the team MVP, HBCA All-District. He was an all-conference selection in the EIAC and an all-state honorable mention selection. And we've also told you, might have been last week's show, that Mergenthal, his teammates Casey McQueen and Cooper Hogue, they were all named winners of the Marion Crawley Scholarship from the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association. And you know, with these scholarships, it's, you got to have the performance on the court, you got to perform in the classroom, and then it's about extracurriculars and getting out and helping in one's community. So those three were able to do that and got a couple extra bucks to help them pay for books and maybe meal plans or something of that nature. So it's been a good couple of weeks for Caleb Mergenthal. We want to congratulate him on his commitment to continue his academic and athletic career at Indiana University East. Hopefully he continues to do big things there. Another commitment that we want to talk about here on tonight's show is Corbin Walston from Lawrenceburg High School, going to continue his wrestling career at the collegiate level, and he's going to be going to Indiana Tech up in Fort Wayne. Walston, a 2-time EIAC champion, won at 132 pounds, and most recently at 152, winning that EIAC championship as a senior. He would go on to win the sectional and the regional as well, and qualified for the state finals. He did lose in the opening losing ground to the eventual state champion Samuel Going from Crown Point, but an awesome senior season for Corbin Walston, 44-3, an awesome career overall, and he's going to be joining an Indiana Tech wrestling team that was pretty impressive last year. They went 10-2 overall. They won their conference tournament and placed fourth at the NAIA National Championship. So quality program, going to get himself a quality education as well, and not going to be too far away from home, traveling up north to attend Indiana Tech in Fort Wayne. So we do have some more information about Corbin Walston's commitment, Caleb Mergenthal's commitment as well over at EagleCountryOnline.com. But a big congratulations to those two young men for moving on and continuing their athletic academic career at the collegiate level. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba are located here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home. Visit OrthoCincy.com for more information. Remember, Cincy is spelled with a Y. All right, so next up, we want to run down the standings for baseball and softball in the EIAC and the ORVC. Things are getting down to the nitty-gritty. We're getting close to the end of the regular season, and there's still several teams in the races in the particular sport, in the particular conference that we'll be talking about. I want to start in the EIAC with baseball side of things. Batesville, I keep trying to combine the word baseball and Batesville, and maybe that's because they're so good at baseball. 13-4 overall so far this year, 9-0 in the conference, so it is their conference to lose. They have East Central and South Dearborn nipping at their heels, just two games behind at 7-2. And for Batesville, they got two games against Rushville and two against South Dearborn. Those two games against South Dearborn will round out the regular season. So South Dearborn obviously needs a little help, or they have to win out, including those two games against Batesville, to end the season to at least have a share of the EIAC title. South Dearborn will have to get two wins against Connersville to keep themselves in the running before they play those final two with Batesville. As for East Central, they have two against Greensburg and then two against Lawrenceburg, and they are hoping that South Dearborn can help them out to, again, get to a share of the conference championship. And, of course, Rushville can kind of play spoiler in all of this if they are able to get a game or two against Batesville, which will be easier said than done, because quite frankly, and no disrespect to Rushville, they have a pretty nice team, but Batesville should take care of them on paper, but that's why you play the game. So it will be an interesting last four conference games for those teams at the top: Batesville, East Central, South Dearborn. Of course, Lawrenceburg could kind of play spoiler against EC with two games looming against their rival from Dearborn County. But it's been a fun year in the EIAC so far. Braden Rouse, a sophomore from East Central, he is the average leader in the EIAC at 532. He is also the home run leader, along with his teammate Sam Bond. They both have four each, and he's going for the triple crown in the EIAC because he's got 21 ribbies to lead the way, tied with Adam Daugherty from Franklin County. The wins leaders on the mound in the EIAC: Daniel Brayton from East Central and Reese Willoughby from South Dearborn each have five wins on the season. It is Ryan Willoughby who is the ERA leader, mostly pitching in relief, 0.54 ERA in 13 innings pitched. And then the strikeout leader by a landslide, Lawrenceburg's Drew Lanning. He's got 77 strikeouts in 36 and two-thirds innings pitched. So those are some of the standouts and the statistical leaders in the EIAC. I want to move over to the ORVC and stick with baseball. Right now, Southwestern is at the top of the standings. They're 11-7 overall, but 6-1 in the conference. Right behind them, Milan. They've only played eight games, seven of which have been in the ORVC. It's been one of those springs where we've had a lot of bad weather, a lot of rain, so some teams have not been able to take the field as much as others, but 5-2 in the conference. Milan right there in the thick of things. You got Switzerland County at 4-2. Rising Sun is 5-3. So just two games back in the loss column, and Jacksonville hanging around in there at 3-3. So technically you got five teams alive there. Looks like Southwestern, Milan, Switzerland County obviously are in a little bit better position. Only one game separates Milan and Switzerland County from Southwestern, but it's going to be a really fun end of the season in the ORVC to see who the eventual conference champ will be. Southwestern, they got games at Shaw, at South Ripley, home against Jacksonville. They play home against Milan, and then two against Switzerland County. So there's going to be ample opportunity for Southwestern to either put this to bed, or there's going to be opportunity for a team like Milan and Switzerland County to knock off Southwestern and position themselves above them in the standings. For Milan, at Switzerland County, at South Ripley, home against Jacksonville, and at Southwestern. So Milan, I think they control their own destiny. If they can win those four games, they're going to be the conference champ, at the very least have a share of it. But Switzerland County, they're right there too, just a game behind Southwestern. They're technically behind Milan in the standings based on win percentage, even though they have the same amount of losses, but they are going to play very, very soon. You got Switzerland County at Rising Sun, who still thinks they got a chance, and then they're going to play at Shaw, home against Jacksonville, and two versus Southwestern. So Switzerland County's got all the opportunity in the world to win this conference as well. Rising Sun, they're basically going to have to win out. That'd be against Switz, Shaw, South Ripley, and Jacksonville. They are certainly capable of going on a four-game winning streak. But those four teams that I just mentioned, they all know that they got a shot. There might be a share at some point in the conference if things fall the way that they need to for some of these teams, but four teams in the race with four or more games to go should be a fun sprint to the end for these teams in the ORVC. The average leader so far in the conference is Jeremiah Johnson from Milan. He's hitting .526. Home run leaders, Bryce Turner from Switzerland County and Jonathan Jimenez from Rising Sun, each have two home runs. The RBI leaders, William Stockdale from Southwestern and the aforementioned Jonathan Jimenez, 18 ribbies each. The wins leader on the mound, Zach Cole, he's 5-2 for Southwestern. The ERA leader, this is another relief pitcher, so not as many innings, obviously, as the starters, but Jackson Sparks, a freshman at Switzerland County, 0 ERA, has not allowed an earned run in 13 innings pitch. And then Zach Cole, again, the strikeout leader, 62 Ks in 43 1/3 innings pitched. So, again, ORVC tied at the top. A lot of big-time performers there. Going to be fun to end the season. Let's bounce back to the EIAC and check on the softball standings. And quite frankly, at this point, it is a two-team race. You got Connersville at the top of the conference, 10-0 against conference opponents. They're 15-2 overall. East Central also undefeated in the conference, but they've only played 7 conference games. So they are actually scheduled to play a doubleheader this evening. The first game in progress. The second game will be starting pretty soon, as soon as we're wrapping up the show. They'll be getting to first pitch of that second game. So obviously, two big games for both of these teams. Connersville can essentially wrap up the conference tonight, or East Central can get two wins closer. Well, actually, they would jump Connersville. I don't know what I'm talking about. Even if they split, you're still looking at both teams having a chance to win the conference outright. So a lot riding on these two games this evening. East Central also has games against Batesville, Lawrenceburg, Greensburg, and Franklin County. So some more opportunities for some wins. Connersville, having already played 10 EIAC games, they only have two more to go after the doubleheader with EC against Lawrenceburg and Rushville. And Connersville, one of their top players, Carmen Rubel, she is leading the conference in hitting at .617. Sarah Rubel, Rayleigh Brashear from Connersville, those two, plus Brooklyn Couch, from Lawrenceburg, each have 5 home runs to lead the EIAC. The RBI leader is Kinsey Furman from Franklin County. She's got 31 knocked in. Michaela Furman, 9-4 in the pitching circle, the top pitcher in the conference, and she's going for the pitching triple crown as she's the ERA leader at 2.35 over 77 innings pitched, and she also has 115 strikeouts to lead the conference. And as I mentioned, East Central does play Franklin County. That seems to be their toughest matchup beyond the doubleheader with Connersville, so they certainly have a tough schedule coming down the stretch to try to be the EIAC champs, but really the big two games are tonight against Connersville. A lot riding on those two games. In the ORVC, Rising Sun at the top of the conference at 6-1, 13-2 overall. They're having a great season. South Ripley, 11-2 overall. They're 5-1 in second place. You got Switzerland County at 4-2 in the conference, followed by Jacksonville at 2-3. Milan struggling this year, 0-6 in the conference. So they're out of the championship race. Rising Sun, they got games against Switzerland County, at South Ripley, and at Jackson Dell. So not a easy schedule to round out the season. Obviously, South Ripley and Switzerland County nipping at their heels. Jackson Dell not mathematically out of it. So that'll be an important game as well there at the end of the season. For South Ripley, they have four games remaining against Jackson Dell, Milan, Southwestern, and Rising Sun. The one against Rising Sun is obviously going to be the big one. Switzerland County also gets a chance to play Rising Sun. They got Milan, Jackson Dell, and Southwestern on the schedule as well. So the way I see it, a three-team race, Rising Sun, South Ripley, Switzerland County, with Jackson Dell having an outside shot if they can win out, I would think. They might be able to get away with one loss, depending on who it's to, but if Jackson Dell wants to win the conference or share it, they will likely have to win out. So again, in the ORVC, on the softball side of things, much tighter race, more teams involved, similar to on the baseball side of things. You got Nora Powell from Rising Sun, a 560 hitter so far this year, leading the conference. Ashley Fulton from Southwestern has five homers. Her teammate Morgan Mahoney, the RBI leader with 27. Wins, Maddie Tompkins, 9-2 for the Lady Raiders. Lily Sparks, star at Switzerland County, the ERA leader, 1.09 in almost 71 innings pitched. And she also has the most strikeouts in the conference at 105. So for the most part, been a pretty competitive season for baseball and softball teams in the EIAC and the ORVC. Still several teams alive, seeking a championship in those conferences in their respective sports. So it's going to be fun to see how things shake out over the next couple of weeks leading into sectional play. And that does lead me into my next topic, which we're going to take quite a bit of time to talk about, which is the new sectional groupings in six different sports, the IHSAA making these official. Last week, we're talking football, boys and girls basketball, boys and girls soccer, and volleyball. And I do want to start on the football side of things. Before you know it, it's going to be August, and we're going to be getting into gear with our high school football season. Our broadcast schedule will be releasing that fairly shortly. But let's start in Class 4A and work our way down to 1A. East Central Sectional is going to have some changes. Now, these are going to be good for the next 2 years. There's been reclassification, which means teams have changed, whether they're in Class 4A, 3, 2, 1. They might have gone up, might have gone down. Some of those schools and teams that have gone from 4A to 3A are Madison and South Dearborn. So they are no longer, obviously, in East Central's football sectional. And Mooresville is another team. They didn't change class, but they're not going to be in EC sectional anymore as well. The new teams replacing those three and then is Bedford, North Lawrence, Shelbyville, and Edgewood. So my biggest takeaway from this particular sectional that now has Bedford, EC, Edgewood, Greenwood, Jennings County, Martinsville, Shelbyville, and Silver Creek, East Central sectional to lose, with Mooresville moving to a different 4A sectional. Mooresville, well, they're probably thinking they got the shaft a little bit because now they have to play in a sectional that features Ron Colley, and they are a perennial powerhouse, always in the conversation for a state championship in 4A. And then you have Brebeuf Jesuit, who was the 3A runner-up last year. They've moved up to 4A, so that's a very, very tough sectional for Mooresville. But East Central will likely be glad to see them go. Maybe a little bit easier for them to navigate this sectional. Of course, they did finish fifth in 4A last year, won the sectional, a hard-fought three-point loss to Evansville Memorial in the regional. And this East Central team, they're going to have a lot of firepower coming back with Cole Burton, Josh Ringer, Eli Aston, Ryan Brotherton at your starting quarterback, running back, and top two wide receivers on offense. Not many teams going to have that sort of firepower, that sort of speed, agility, and just overall talent. Now, Silver Creek, a pretty solid program there, 22-7 under fourth-year head coach David Pappenhaus. They only went 5-4 a season ago, but they look to be one of the biggest challengers in this sectional. Greenwood, better than their record suggests most years because of how many teams they play that are really, really tough. Jennings County, they haven't had a winning season since 2015. Bedford North Lawrence has had one winning season since 2012, and Edgewood plays mostly 2 and 3A teams, and they went 2-8 last season. So again, I think this is a sectional that East Central should win. I don't know if Coach Miners wants me saying that and having his players hear it, but on paper, they look to be the strongest team here. Shelbyville, they won 2 games in the last 4 years. They've been shut out 16 times in that span. So that's not to say that these programs can't get better and have better years, but East Central, like I said, on paper, the strongest team in this sectional, and they should be thinking that they are the favorites. They would think so otherwise, regardless of the names of the teams that are in the sectional, but I have a very strong feeling they're going to navigate this sectional quite easily this season, and I hope I'm not out of line by saying that. Let's move to Class 3A because things got a whole lot more interesting in what I believe is Sectional 31 now, as the old sectional was Batesville, Brownstown Central, Charlestown, Franklin County, Greensburg, Lawrenceburg, Rushville, and Scottsburg, but the new sectional is Batesville, Centerville, Franklin County, Greensburg, Indian Creek, Lawrenceburg, Rushville, and you betcha, South Dearborn. Brownstown Central, they have primarily been the threat to Lawrenceburg over the past 3 years. Lawrenceburg has won this sectional 3 years in a row. Charlestown has had some strong teams. We knew Brownstown Central was not going to be in this sectional going forward because they moved to 2A, and they should be a really, really strong team at that level. But with South Dearborn, Indian Creek, and Centerville entering, mixes things up a little bit. Centerville's an interesting team. They were number 9 in 2A to end last season. Obviously moving up to 3A. South Dearborn, they fit very nicely into this sectional. I think they can become one of the legitimate contenders over the next 2 years. The 4A sectional was very, very tough. They were in the sectional with East Central and Mooresville, who have been highly ranked in 4A. Now they're in a sectional with teams that they're more familiar with the rest of the EIAC teams, and they should have a pretty good team coming back. Certainly nice to have your returning starting quarterback and Adam Kunkel. They got some nice skill players there. You know that they like to play good defense in Aurora, and I know that's something they're going to continue to hang their hat on, but I really think South Dearborn's going to love competing in this sectional. You have Casey Gillen, who is going to be taking over the program this year for Indian Creek, as they have been a good program, particularly under Mike, who's now at Mooresville, so you have the family lineage there. It'll be interesting to see how that program builds over the next couple of seasons. And then Centerville, they also have a new coach in Ryan Cole. They've gone 18-3 over the past two seasons, again finishing in the top 10 last year in 2A. But they play a lot of 1A and 2A schools. We'll see how that translates to playing at the 3A level this year. I certainly think that they can be a team that's not easy to contend with, but again, we've seen it time and time again. When you play a lighter schedule in the regular season and then you got to come up and play the likes of a Lawrenceburg or South Dearborn, one of those teams that we think is going to be really strong in this sectional, might be tough sledding for Centerville, but they might prove that they are up to the task. So again, I think this is going to be a really, really interesting sectional. Another big takeaway, and I talked about this prior because it was anticipated that South Dearborn was going to join this sectional. They have been playing Lawrenceburg the last game of the regular season for a long, long time, and I think you're likely going to see that change. Not this year because the schedule is already in place, but moving forward next year, I think they'll try to move that game into the middle of the season just to prevent those two teams from perhaps playing back-to-back final game of the regular season, first round of sectional, because that is obviously possible now with South Dearborn entering Class 3A. Class 2A, the old sectional that Switzerland County was a part of, featured Clarksville, Eastern Pekin, Mitchell, Paoli, Providence, Triton Central, and Union County. And now it's going to feature Brown County, Brownstown Central, who was tough in 3A last year. They're going to be a powerhouse at 2A. Crystal House, Clarksville, Eastern Pekin stays in there. You got Indianapolis Cecina, who finished number 11 in 2A last year, and then Triton Central along with Switzerland County. So this will be a very, very tough sectional for the Pacers, expecting Brownstown Central to be very, very good at the 2A level, and Cecina has had some really great teams, so those look to be the two top teams in this particular sectional. Now in 1A, there's going to be a little bit of a shakeup in Milan's sectional as well. The old sectional featured Cambridge City, Lincoln, Hagerstown, Knightstown, North Decatur, Oldenburg Academy, South Decatur, and Try. And the only change is that Edinburgh enters and Hagerstown goes out. So pretty much the same sectional here with the exception of one team. North Decatur has been very, very strong here in the past few years, finished number 16 in 1A last year. Milan didn't necessarily have a great year last year, but they had a lot of young kids who got varsity playing experience, and a lot of those young men going to be back this year. So this has always kind of been a two-year project for Ryan Langforman, and I would expect his Milan Indians to be a much, much tougher team, more competitive, and more wins on the schedule this year. I like them to have a pretty big year out in Milan, and they got the new turf coming in as well, so exciting times for the Milan Indians football program. Let's switch over to basketball. Boys and girls basketball sectional groupings are going to be the same on both sides. Class 4A sectional 14, six teams: Columbus East, Columbus North, East Central, Franklin Community, Shelbyville, and Whiteland Community. Gone are the Bloomington schools, North and South, and Martinsville. On the girls' side of things, obviously East Central has won three sectional championships in a row. They defeated Columbus East this past year, who finished number 8 in 4A. Their big star, Sage Stahl, will be back. Big star for East Central, Josie Trable, going to be back as well. Laney Baker, Julia Tiemann, Caitlin Dick, they're going to be very, very good again this year. But enter Franklin Community, who went 28-2 last year. They lost in the state championship game, so didn't really get any easier on the girls' side of things. I think on the boys' side, East Central will be glad to see the Bloomington schools go, in particular North, who went to the semi-state last year. Maybe a little bit easier to navigate for the Trojans on the boys' side. Still going to be a tough sectional, especially if you ask Coach Disbro. There's some good teams there, but I think it's nice seeing the Bloomington teams go. You're going to pack this sectional in a little bit closer in terms of proximity. Don't have to travel as far, so I think that's going to be good moving forward. Class 3A sectional 29, Batesville, Connersville, Franklin County, Greensburg, Lawrenceburg, Rushville, South Dearborn. No changes there on the boys or girls side. Class 2A sectional 45, five teams: Milan, North Decatur, South Ripley, Stay, Hauser, and Switzerland County join the fray. This is going to be a lot of fun as they're replacing Triton Central and South Decatur. Again, these teams are grouped together closer in proximity. On the boys' side, you got Trent Moorhead, who's going to be at Hauser, first-year head coach, as the son of Rob Moorhead, the superintendent at South Ripley. So if those two teams get matched up, it's just going to be fun to see what Rob's reaction is, because you want to root for your son, you want to root for your school. It's going to be fun. Switzerland County enters the fray. They might have the best player of any of these five teams in Cam Craig, who will be a sophomore. Kanan Johnson, Jacob Williams returning as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And I like a five-team sectional. It gives you the element that any one of these teams can win, and that'll be true on the boys and girls side of things. And then Class 1A, couple sectionals here. Sectional 60, seven teams: Edinburgh, Jacksonville, Morristown, Oldenburg Academy, South Decatur, Southwestern, and Waldron. Hauser moved to 2A. South Decatur drops to 1A, so there's the switch there. Rising Sun is moving to Sectional 62, where they'll be joined with Crothersville, Medora, New Washington, Shaw Memorial, and at Trinity Lutheran. And I think Rising Sun's boys and girls teams, they might do quite well in that sectional, specifically coming up this next season, as they have some returning players that have a lot of talent. I'm going to run through the boys and girls soccer and volleyball very, very quickly as we're getting down to the end of this. On the boys soccer side of things, there's no change in the 3A sectional featuring East Central. Still be grouped with Connersville, Greenfield Central, Mount Vernon, Fortville, New Powell, Richmond, and Shelbyville. Madison has been added to the 2A EIAC sectional, basically, with Batesville, Franklin County, Greensburg, Lawrenceburg, Rushville, and South Dearborn. That is both true for boys and girls soccer, those two sectionals that I just talked about. 1A sectional featuring Oldenburg Academy. They're going to go up against the likes of Knightstown, Morristown, Seton Catholic, Union County, and Wapahani. They're losing Greenwood Christian, Hauser, and Southwestern Shelby from that sectional. And then sectional 45 in 1A, Jacksonville, Milan, Rising Sun, Shaw, South Ripley, Southwestern Hanover, and Switzerland County. No change there, of course, as you have the ORVC sectional there. That's for boys soccer. And on the girls' side of things, only one 1A sectional impacting all the teams in this area. Southwestern's basically been added, so it is the ORVC sectional. And then in volleyball, Class 4A, you got East Central grouped in with Columbus East, North, Franklin Community, Shelbyville, and Whiteland Community. So that is pretty close to what the girls and boys basketball sectional is. In 3A, you got the EIAC sectional, no change there. 2A, sectional 45, Hauser's in, Austin is out, Milan, North Decatur, South Ripley, Southwestern, and Switzerland County round out that sectional. In 1A, sectional 60, again, we're talking volleyball, Jackson Dell is grouped with Edinburgh, Morristown, Oldenburg Academy, South Decatur, Southwestern, Shelby, and Waldron. And Class 1A, Sectional 62, Rising Sun, grouped with Crothersville, Medora, New Washington, Shaw Memorial, and Trinity Lutheran. So, I know that was a lot to unpack. We do have those sectional groupings listed over at EagleCountryOnline.com if you want to take another peek at them. And again, these sectional groupings for these six sports will be good for the next two school years, and the baseball and softball realignment, that will come later on this summer. So we'll see if there's some changes in the sectional groupings there. Well, we have come to the end of the show. I've run myself out of time. I'm certainly looking forward to the NFL schedule release on Thursday night. We know who the Bengals are going to play home and away. We just don't know the dates of those games and the times. I'm going to guess that the Bengals get three primetime games this year, or at least I'm going to set the over-under at three. So I'll probably talk about that a little bit coming up next Monday. Hopefully I can get to that. FC Cincinnati on a roll. They've won three games in a row for the first time in franchise history. They are fifth in the Eastern Conference and only 2 points out of first place. And yes, they have as many wins as the Reds do, even though the Reds finally won a series over the weekend. So I don't have to talk about them in a negative light so much on this particular edition of Crunch Time. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, another big thanks to our sponsor, OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Learn more about their services at OrthoSensi.com. We'll do this again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, as always, right here on your hometown radio station. It's Eagle Country 99.3.